Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, the hostess for The Message and The Messenger. We got started a little bit late because of technical difficulties, and so all I can say to you is thank you for being there. Thank you for being patient. We're here. All is forgiven, huh? Oh, my. Today, we have some interesting information, I think, to share with you. For those who might not be familiar with my show, let me just mention something real quick. One of the things that we do is we work with the Universal Akashic Records, which are located in the center of the cosmos. These particular records are the culmination of all of the different records located in the many different places that has to do with individuals. If we want information about the Earth, for instance, then what we do is open up records in a different place that is here on this planet that pertains to Earth history and the evolution of the people here on this planet. So what happens is when I have someone ask me a question, I am holding their vibration, and there is a part of my mind that goes to the center of the cosmos, and their vibration is matched to the vibration in the records. That is the key that opens their records. I find this so fascinating, and perhaps you might find it fascinating also. We are individuals, so individual that we are like a snowflake. You know, science tells us that every snowflake is different. It has a different picture, a different structure. And so each one of us has a unique vibrational fingerprint, so to speak. And this is how the cherubim, who are the holders of the records, connect the person with the question to the records. And actually, this is what they do. They are masters of vibration. And as the records and the history of souls moves up through the different dimensions, it is their responsibility to match individual records with the database, so to speak. And they, you might say, correlate these together, because what happens is Source will ask for a specific record and they review them. Interestingly, we know when they are being reviewed because there is a symbol that is placed on the outside of the record, and it has to do with the information that Source asked about and the information that was inside of the record itself. So it's quite fascinating, especially when I can view the emblem that is on the exterior of the record. It's quite fascinating. Actually, the records are fascinating in themselves. I am constantly, you might say, in awe of individuals, their paths, the plan that God structured, the tree of life, how all of this works, how we're all intertwined with one another. And another thing that I have been very fortunate, perhaps, is to remember a lot of my past lifetimes. And as you remember the past lifetimes, what this means is you have a sense of where you have been through the centuries, coming down through the history on the planet Earth, and you have a sense of who and what you are, and also your connection to Source from the time that souls were created until this magnificent journey that we have walked, what we have learned, what has come to pass historically and in our own hands. Unfortunately, most souls, when they come into the earth plane, have forgotten this. Memory has been cut. And so we are here. You might say, sometimes it seems like we're in a vacuum because we don't know where we've come from and we don't always know where we are going. What I have found from so many of the different records that I have read and information that comes from those records is that one of the things that we really need to do, because this advice is constantly given, one of the things that we need to do is connect with our higher mind. The higher mind is the entranceway to the soul monad, and the soul monad holds all of the information that we have ever acquired as a soul. And too few people have done this, connecting to the higher mind, because one of the things that the higher mind is responsible for doing is to set up the events in our life, bringing people into our life, helping set up the circumstances around the events that we are living through to help us fulfill the promises and the plans that we made before we came. When we came, we saw a plan. Our soul put a plan together as what segment of this incredibly beautiful journey that we were going to explore. And if we come and follow that plan, this is called the middle road. If we don't come up to the expectations of our soul to fulfill that plan, that's the lower path. And remarkably, if we can go beyond what the soul planned for us, that is the high road or the higher path. And it is fascinating to open up the records and be told where we are in that progression, to be told where we have come from. So many of the souls here on the planet right now have come from other planets. We might not even think about that. You know, so much, you hear so much about extraterrestrials, and when you walk down the street, you're probably looking in the eyes of some extraterrestrials who have incarnated here, who have come from other planets. And the reason why that is so is because when the Elohim set up the plan for this particular experience here, they worked along with a council, a very high elevated council. Yeshua was one of those souls. Of course, he had another name then, but he was one of the souls that was involved in the council, along with some other galactic representatives. And when this plan was laid out, the representatives called forth their most illustrious souls to support the plans of the Elohim, the creator gods for this particular area, who were following God's plans, who was implementing God's plans in this solar system. So, unfortunately, right now, many people do not remember this. Though I have to say that it is interesting when people ask for a reading, they want to know where they are from, and we open up the records and we inform people of this, memories start. And because we are all in this awakening process, and some of the cherubim, for instance, many of them come for a reading. We have so many cherubim living on earth presently. And as I said before, you look in the back and you don't see any wings flapping there, and you can't believe that perhaps he might be a cherubim. But the cherubim came, they were sent, that have been struggling against the dark for many of these incarnations. And what has happened is when they came down through the dimensions, their powers were shorn from them and left on some of the higher dimensions because they were enormous, immense souls who were coming down into a compacted area, and they left behind some of their abilities. The way they function on this planet presently is there are cherubim in the higher astral planes that work with them, because here the particles are so compacted, it is very difficult for them to use all of their abilities, but they are awakening to this, and it is a beautiful thing to see these souls awaken and start to understand what their abilities are, because they are masters of vibration. And I have been watching so many of them open up like flowers and starting to bloom. Once they find out the things that they have been doing on the inner planes, and some of them are bringing these abilities into the consciousness that that they hold right now. So perhaps there are some cherubim out there who are listening to this, because it really wasn't my intention to start chatting about the cherubim, but I always pray to the source before I start any program to bring forth the information that people might need who are listening at the present time. So perhaps there are some cherubim out there listening. And if you care to call in, our number here is 877-876-5227. We will be taking phone calls for those of you who are sparked by some words that we use to ask a question. Now, one of the things that we're planning on talking about today is some of the criteria that souls use to reincarnate. And I have found this very fascinating, because as you see or able to draw this history between one incarnation and another, it's sort of like a journey, a pathway. And it could be that a soul decided to explore a certain question and maybe died before they got the answers, and they come back and finish the exploration, and then maybe the next lifetime there is something that intrigues them and they want to know more about it. For instance, I have a dear friend who in a past lifetime was living in another country during a period of wartime, and her family, she had seen her family murdered very cruelly. And as she sees her family assassinated, you might say, and then she is also killed, in her dying thoughts, she is wondering what would make people so cruel to follow such behavior. And these were her thoughts as she was dying. And she came back not long after, and she is working along with the kind of, you might say, sociopaths who have followed these types of anti-social behavior. And she works with them working to heal them. Interestingly, I find this interaction so fascinating. Interestingly, the individual who was in charge of the detail that massacred her family came back in this present lifetime as her father. And her mother, she was very close to her mother, and her mother was also assassinated by this individual and came back as the spouse. And the two of them are working on healing this individual. And so as I look at these different lifetimes, how we come and go, how we come back again, it is always about healing. And I mentioned this particular situation because I love this story. We were clearing some of the past and some of the Roman soldiers that were caught up in the bardo with Julius Caesar after he had been assassinated. And that whole story is in Conversations with Caesar. It is a remarkable story of what life is like on the other side, told in his own words. It's a story well worthwhile reading. And so he was released from the bardo, and he knew all about war. And he came back this time wanting to heal, and he is presently incarnated into the life of one of our soldiers in the Middle East, except he is not fighting. He now is working as a nurse there, working with healing those who have been injured on the battlefield. And he said to me he knew all about war, and he wasn't frightened of it. And he wanted to come and heal, and so he chose that as this time around to learn all about healing, and healing in particular the soldier. So it seems like the lifetimes that we live presently, we're exploring new areas, and many of these areas, as I have seen it, is all about healing. But we take the experiences from the past, and those experiences are very much involved with emotion. And it seems from what I have been able to perceive is that emotion seems to be the guiding factor in all of this exploration. My friends, if you have a question, call us here now. We're almost halfway through the show, 877-876-5227. And so it seems like whether we are coming to this world or we are passing over to the next world, it is emotion that seems to be the guiding factor as to what we're going to do in the next lifetime and the path that we're going to take. Giving the illustration of my friend whose family was all assassinated during a war, you can imagine the kinds of emotions that were involved with these people. The aggressor who was doing the assassination, the family that was assassinated, the love ties that the mother and the daughter had. These were all great emotions. So at that point in that life, when they transitioned, it was a very powerful, you might say, roadmap. And I have found that on this particular level, where disease is concerned, where our physical healing needs to be done, it is also involved in emotions. It could be very deep emotions that have to do with hatred, with fear, with jealousy. And fear in particular seems to be a very difficult emotion to overcome because the souls have been through so many traumatic events in the past. You know, if you look a little bit at history, and actually all of us are like troopers or soldiers who have gone through all of these periods of history. We have seen it all. And if you have been a soldier in the past, whether it was a Knight Templar, whether it was a defender of your homeland against intruders, there's been an awful lot of conflict in the past. And so you have walked through all of these events, and you carry those emotions with you in the subconscious body, the subtle body. And I hear that we have a caller, and your name, please.
This is June.
Hi, June.
Hi.
What can I do for you, dear?
I'm very concerned about my sister. Can you ask questions about other people?
Well, as long as they're related to your life circle, yes. In other words, people, there is, we always have to have permission when we are asking about another.
Right.
But where you are asking about the experience that has to, that involves you.
Like what I could do to help her or
yeah,
what,
see, that,
yeah.
Of course, that is open to you. When you get into someone else's, you know, what is guiding them, you know, maybe their secret thoughts or things that's like you might say private information.
Sure, sure.
But where it concerns you, of course, you can ask.
And whatever information there is that would help us to help her family.
Of course. And so what is the question, June? You have a sister who is ill.
Excuse me?
I said you had a sister who is ill.
I have a sister, Annie, who is ill.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know, we're all going to drive over there. She lives out of state. We're going to go see her as a family, and we want to be as most used to her as we can.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Most helpful. So what can we do, or me? What does she need from me that would help her heal, if I can do anything at all?
Okay, and she, on a soul level, she might not need anything. On a
right.
personality level, she may. Let's see what we can find out, June.
Thank you.
Yeah, bear with me. Let me see what's happening here. The cherubim have opened up her record, and she is one of these individuals who has a very great amount of light that is streaming from inside of her records. She has always stood for the light, is what it is being shown to me. Her private reasons for the illness are the thoughts or the urgings of her soul is not the sort of thing that is open right now, but what the cherubim are saying is know that what your sister is going through is something that has been set up by her soul, that there is nothing that is accidental.
Right.
And so the choices that she has made are in direct relationship to the urgings that is that her soul is sending to her. And her choices are for the greater good of not only her and the rest of the family, but also humanity. That there is something that is going on between her and the higher dimensions that she has accepted through the suffering to help bring more light onto this planet. Now, what they are saying is it's very difficult for human beings to understand this because there is not a logical reason for this. But know that that what she does, that there is great sanctity and love behind this.
Mm-hmm.
And there are reasons on all different levels. Now, as far as what you could do for her, what they are saying is, even though she might seem that there is much that she needs, it is your support, just the fact that you are there is of utmost help to her, and the greatest help that you can be is to be joyful, to be supportive and loving, which you will be, but to also be joyful. In other words, not to have this sense of doom and gloom. Mm-hmm. And what they are saying is they don't feel that you would walk that path anyway. But to bring joy into her life, that this is your calling right now, is to make these moments joyful for her. And that is what she is looking for, the joy, the celebration of
mm-hmm.
her life.
Mm-hmm.
That this is could be the greatest gift to her, is to know that, number one, she is appreciated and loved, and the fact that all of you are going to, visit with her is a great desire in her soul to be able to see all of you, to feel your love, to feel your support. And you have to excuse me because they are showing me the angels that are singing to her now. It is not something that you hear, but her soul knows it, and she hears it on a level that you do not understand. That she is well taken care of, she is loved, and she has great experiences and joy that she will be leaving with all of you. So she wants your joy, she wants your love, and you are providing that. And you are giving to her the most perfect gift that you can give.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what she wants, dear one,
mm-hmm.
to know that her relationship with you has been one that you have loved and honored. And you probably know this, that you have walked the path together through other lifetimes. You know that, don't you, June?
I'm not sure.
What?
I'm not sure.
Well, they are telling you
okay.
that this is the case, that this is not the first time that the two of you have crossed paths with one another, and it is because of this past that you came together to share with one another your life as a family, and it has been great joy for you and for she.
Hmm.
So, was there anything else, Jean?
Is she going to stay on the planet or leave soon? Is this illness part of leaving, or is she going to, or is that for me to know?
Well, I'm not sure you really want me to tell you that.
I do.
Huh?
I do.
We always have a choice.
Right.
Even in the last moment, there is a choice to change.
Okay.
And if your sister chooses to stay, she will stay. You know that, don't you?
Right, I do.
Yes. And so the information that I am giving you is, you might say, temporary information.
Sure.
It is the way that it is at the moment. It doesn't mean that after all of you go there and you share your experiences with one another and you share your love, that she might not change her mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I only say that from that point of view, that this is still within your sister's hands, so to speak. She could at any moment change her decision. Let me see if I should say more. What I will say is, when I said to you that the angels were singing to her, there is a particular group of angels that, and I tell you this so that you know that she is in very good hands if she chooses to leave. There is a group of angels that when someone is intending to transition, they come and they sing to them.
Mm-hmm.
They their soul hears this, and it is something on an unconscious level that they pick up. They are aligned with the same group of angels that sing to infants when they come into this world. And so when people transition, either coming to this world or going to the next, there is a group of these angels that sing to them, and it gives them comfort on a vibrational level,
mm-hmm.
and it helps them cross over in peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what your sister intends now might not be the final answer,
okay.
but if it is the final answer, know that if she does choose to transition, that it is in great love, and the angels are with them, and they, along with their guardian angel, take them to the next step. It is all the most beautiful function, June.
Mm-hmm.
And does that help?
It does, it does.
And was there anything else?
Well, Mikhail has been coming to me, and I was just wondering if he could verify that what I've been seeing is really him. If you have the time, I don't want to...
No, we're here, dear.
Okay.
Okay, so if I'm understanding you correctly, you're during meditation time, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
you think that Archangel Mikhail
mm-hmm.
is coming to you,
mm-hmm.
and you want to know if, in fact, this is a genuine experience.
Mm-hmm.
Is that... Okay.
Because it's so funny that it's hard to believe that it's an archangel.
Why would that be funny?
It's a funny thing that he does.
What does he do?
Oh, it's too funny.
No, tell me. I'm serious. What does he do?
He uses his sword like a baseball bat.
See, I have to laugh at that. The reason that I asked you is, June, have you been to, you haven't been to our conference calls yet, have you?
I did this week, yes.
Okay, you went to the Voices from Heaven series, but at the conference calls, which is the last Thursday of the month, Archangel Mikhail.
Oh, I'm going to that one too, yeah.
Good. Archangel Mikhail is usually there on the telephone call, and he is up to those antics.
Okay.
He comes sometimes with a baseball cap on his hat.
No!
With the brim around the back.
Oh, too funny. That's what I saw, the baseball bat and the hat. And I couldn't believe it.
Well, I tell you why he does those things. And he and Master Kathumi, they kid around. They do all kinds of antics. They get me laughing. And they get everybody else laughing. And here is what Archangel Mikhail says about that. He says, for too long I have been placed on a pedestal,
mm-hmm.
and I want you to know that I am very close to humanity, that I have a very close rapport with humanity. He is saying to me right now to read that story about when I first talked to him at Mount St.
Right.
Did you read that?
I have.
Okay, well, you know the story how he talked about your children are my children.
Yes.
I was okay.
Yes.
This is how he has lived with humanity. And the reason for this, June, is he was one who participated along with the Elohim and with the other individuals who came together and worked. He brought the string, which was the creative string in place. He,
mm-hmm,
that was
mm-hmm.
what he contributed. And
mm-hmm.
he came with all of his light workers. So all of these light workers who are just in love with Archangel Mikhail, they were there when that string was brought forth and this solar system came into being. That's
mm-hmm.
just one part of the process. And so he is telling me right now, June, you were there with all of the other light workers, that you were holding the space.
Mm.
And he has been with us through all of the many processes that we have gone through. And so when he says, your babies are my babies, your tears are my tears, It is because he has been with us every step of the way. And he continuously says, and he's repeating it now, he says, think of me as your big brother.
I do. I said, it's the big brother I've always craved.
Well, he is your big brother. He is our big brother, and he encouraged me to tell you that. Now, June, do you really think that I need to ask him if he is coming to you?
No. The baseball was it.
Oh, yeah. He and when we have a conference call and he and Master Kasumi are there, the two of them get there, and they are just so hilarious. They do the work that they came to do, but they do it in such fun and such laughter. And
good.
He brings that story that this is how we are to journey in life, in love, in laughter, in great companionship with one another. And so he demonstrates that.
Yes. Yes, he does. Well, I was going to read today the meditation, how to tune in to him.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to read that and do that. So what is that you were talking about, the cherubims have three choices. Is there a place where that information is, what the choices is? Like, what
well,
is
what
what
the choices are is to go back to source.
Yeah.
To reincarnate here on this planet, and to go to the golden galaxy with Archangel Michael.
So what is the golden galaxy? Do you want to discuss that? Do you have time, or should we let someone else
call
in?
Well, it's not that I don't want to discuss it. It's that...
is there a place to read it?
Well, no, I really don't. I haven't put out too much information about that other than this. When Earth was set up originally,
mm-hmm.
it was not set up
mm-hmm.
to house the light and the dark. That was not the
mm-hmm.
intent. Did you order that book, that Archangel Michael?
I'm going to.
Okay. Well, you see, in that particular book of Earth history, past, present, and future,
right.
he explains how the dark got here to this planet.
I read a little bit on that, yeah.
And so it wasn't their intention that there be light and dark here, and that explains how it got here. And so as I perceive the Golden Galaxy, it is like the step to bring into form what the original intent was here on this planet.
I get it.
I
want to know my choices. Clearer on my choices, yeah.
Well, but you see, here's the thing, what is happening. There are so many cherubim here, and it is very important for them to know, number one, that they are cherubim, number two, what the three choices are, and number three, what their soul is intending for them to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And so meditation will help. What we will do eventually, June, is, and the time is not right, but we will be taking all the cherubim that we have come across and have a conference call for them. Like I said, the time isn't right yet,
mm-hmm.
but when that happens,
mm-hmm.
We will have a conference call for the cherubim who are awakening.
Mm-hmm.
So, my dear, you have... go on your trip to see your sister
yes.
in love
yes.
and joy,
yes.
and remember the word celebration.
Okay.
And you can take your umpire with you, who would probably have his baseball hat on.
I love it. Well, bless you, Carolyn. Thank you so much for the work you do. It's life-changing.
You know, it really is, June. And it's not... It is the masters and the angels that is making this life-changing. As Pope John Paul said, I'm the telephone.
You make a good operator. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just the telephone. They're doing all the work.
Well, thank you for your time that you do this. Thank you.
Blessings to you, June.
Okay, blessings.
Bye. So if someone else, we have maybe... 10 or 15 minutes left, not a lot. If you have a call, with a question like June did. Our phone number here is 877-876-5227. Now, the other thing that we wanted to discuss today was why fear is so difficult to release from the emotional body. And we were kind of touching base on that a little bit earlier about if you look through history, if you're a student of history, or even if you just like to read history, you have to be very much aware that the history of this planet from as far back as you can remember or read about hasn't been peaceful. It has been this struggle of two forces. And going through the struggle between the two forces, many times those who were holding the banner of the light were massacred in some fashion. I mean, sometimes it happened even in the Inquisition. These were people who were people of faith. And if they didn't believe like the church thought they should believe, they were tortured to death. It's been a very sad historical situation for our planet and the history of humanity. And so what happens is when people are transitioning in such terrible moments of pain and despair, maybe their king is responsible for killing them, or their church, or, you know, higher levels of authority, and here they have been light workers trying to bring in the light, and they are so cruelly murdered. And so there's so many emotions going on at the time, abandonment, anger. There's just a myriad of emotions, and as they are crossing over, they're in an altered state, and they're passing through higher planes of consciousness, and they are carrying those emotions with them. And so they must clear that from their emotional body the next time they come. And the soul might have come intending to clear the subtle bodies, because these things are picked up again through the DNA that enters into the bloodstream. And these same emotional aspects are there, and they have to be cleared. And again, if you come and they're not cleared, it then becomes a pattern. And the pattern then becomes susceptible to like attracts light. So if people are carrying a pattern of fear or hatred or some of the other emotions, that negative emotions, then they attract those, because a like emotion will attract a like emotion. And so that pattern creates more of the same. And so the other aspect of that is, if you have something going on in your life that you are not happy with, maybe it is relationships with other people, maybe it's just something as to your feeling towards either people or races or circumstances, or your feelings about prosperity, or your feelings about the weaker sex or the stronger sex. Whatever it is that you are carrying in your mind and heart that you're not completely happy with, it's very likely a pattern that needs to be cleared. And this is something that Charlene and I work with on our Saturday show. So if you find that there are patterns that you have that you're unhappy with, maybe you're not successful enough, maybe you don't have enough prosperity coming into your life that you feel comfortable with, the sense of feeling lack, well, that might be a pattern that needs to be cleared. So these are all either events that are happening in your life or emotions that are popping up that you would like to replace with something that brings much more peace. So fear is difficult to release because so many times it has come up in past lifetimes, and it is now a pattern that attracts other situations that cause fear in your life. The same way this could be with anger. If anger is your pattern, then you are going to attract anger. Perhaps you've seen this. People walk around with a very angry kind of an attitude, a chip on their shoulder, ready to fight right away. And when you run across somebody like that, many times you see what they attract from others is a mirror image. They're being faced with the same kind of anger and chip on your shoulder. It's very difficult to be kind and loving to someone when they are angry and nasty to you. So it's one of these things that we do have to work with. I also find fascinating when we go through the Akashic records and people have health questions. This seems to be coming up more and more. And the answers, I believe from what I am seeing, that just about every health issue has a spiritual, is a spiritual problem at its base. And the spiritual patterns are evolved in emotions, in negative emotions, I'm just so fascinated with some of the answers that we're finding in the records. General health questions, specific health questions, where maybe a vaccine was given that was contaminated and caused problems with the brain, which then pulled in the energetics, the system that has to do with not emotions, but the nervous system, and how healers can work with this and help make changes with it. So it's really a fascinating area. We probably have, I'm looking here at the clock, we started late, maybe 10 minutes, and if someone wants to call in with a question, it's 877-876-5227. We've been talking about healing, and we've been talking about paths for when people reincarnate on the planet, and also, in a sense, the time of transition. And if you are interested in these kinds of questions, I really would suggest this book, Chaos Before Creation, A Cosmic Fire Dance. There's 13 individuals in that book who have come to give a perspective on healing and who surrounds healing. But there are the masters, of course. There are people in history like Joan of Arc, like Bonnie Prince Charles. There's even current entertainers who have crossed over. Marilyn Monroe is a fascinating individual. She is one who contributed to Chaos Before Creation, and she's been on our conference calls. You really get the sense of the attitudes, the emotions, the essence of soul when they come to our conference call. She talks about why she chose the parents that she chose. Of course, she never met her father, didn't know him, but why her soul chose that place to grow up in. She talked about her challenges. She comes and discusses loving yourself. And it is so beautifully put. And she comes with this from the experience of her own soul, just how important it is to love yourself, that unless you love yourself, it's very difficult to love someone else. And so she talks about how on the other side, They review their lifetimes and what she learned from that and how she was planning to come back in another incarnation. And so there's a couple entertainers there. Elvis discusses angels and what he learned from that lifetime and how he plans to come back again, involved again with music, but as a teacher this time. And there is Fred Astaire, talks about keeping the body healthy and what he learned from his last incarnation. He says he doesn't plan to come back and incarnate on the earth plane any longer. That he intends that would be his last lifetime. Then there are individuals who were the very early doctors before the doctors that we know of even had a school to do training. She was on the frontier, and she talks about practicing frontier medicine, how they used herbs, how they used intuition, how they really acted as a healer. And in that her particular story, we talk about how the schools for teaching doctors, the medical profession started. She talks about the herbs that they used and some of the newly evolving medicines. There wasn't too much available, but what they did use and how that worked. There are the usual ones that you might think of that have to do with healing, of course. Kuan Yin, Isis. These are representing, of course, the feminine pattern. And Isis goes into the pattern of healing, how one can be healed, how we can actually be healed, and if the mind does not accept the fact that you were healed, how you can bring back the same illness, how there is this strong connection between, and I know that you know this, but you know, it's interesting to see it in print, where those who have gone that way, who have learned this, have come back to tell us again the importance of thought, because the mind is so close to the spiritual aspect of the soul that it is thought that creates everything in our life. I know that is hard to accept sometimes, because you have an issue in your life and you say, well, I really don't want that. I want something different, but it keeps coming up. It keeps popping up. This event in my life that I'm not too happy with keeps popping up in my life. How do I change it? I don't really want it. But there are things that we carry in the subconscious, and there is also negativity that we carry in our DNA. We might have come to clear not only our DNA of our personal DNA, but the DNA of our forefathers. And what I find is that there are lots of souls who reincarnate today that they reincarnated as an ancestor in the same family line. In other words, they came back to clear a particular issue in their body in the past generations, and they do this so that negativity won't go forward in other lines to follow them. In other words, their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, so they come back to clear the whole family line. Well, my friends, it is so difficult to look at the clock and realize that we are facing the last moments on the clock. I look forward so much to being with you and to try to bring forth information that I think would be of great interest to you. Next Saturday is the Saturday show, and tune in at the same time because Charlene will be with me then. She is the healer that I work with that helps clear in the physical all of these issues. And what I'm finding is people who ask for an Akashic So for now, goodbye everyone. See you Saturday and next Sunday.